The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her, and his disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." And he said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did homage to him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of the masters." And then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour on. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel has a very powerful teaching. The Word of God is always powerful. And the Word of God is always alive to us. Now, I know that some of you do Bible study. I know because you write to me and suggest things or correct things that I say, which is very good, so thank you. So let me look at some exegetical, briefly, points about this gospel for the benefit of those who really follow Bible study. It's found here in the 15th chapter of Matthew's gospel, and Matthew drew it from the book of Mark. And Mark has this in chapter 7. And if you compare them, you'll find they're very, very similar. There's very little difference between them. The second thing that's good to understand here in Bible study is that it happens at Tyre and Sidon. Now, we talked last week about the Sea of Galilee, and around the Sea of Galilee is Cana, Nazareth, 15 miles from there. Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, the hometown of the first apostles. That's where Jesus spends most of his public life. Tyre and Sidon, about 70 miles north. It's Canaanite territory. It's not in the Promised Land. Today, Tyre and Sidon are very thriving port cities. I think Tyre might be the third or fourth largest city in the Lebanon. They're not in Israel, they're in the Lebanon. And it's about 670 miles from the Sea of Galilee up to Tyre and Sidon. So you can tell that Jesus and his followers and his companions were great walkers. About 65 miles south to Jerusalem from the Sea of Galilee, from around Nazareth. And if you read the book of John, you'll find that Jesus goes numerous times all the way down to Jerusalem in his public life. In the other synoptic gospels, only once, with a small exception in Luke's gospel. So that's some background. The Canaanites, by the way, this is a Canaanite woman. They were the people that occupied the Promised Land before the people of Israel came and took it over. You remember in the book of Joshua, you know, the walls of Jericho coming down 1,250, 60 years before Christ. The Canaanites were there. And the Canaanites are genetically ancestors of many, a large piece of the population of Lebanon today. So that's some background. So Jesus goes into foreign territory when he goes to Tyre and Sidon. Now, why he goes into, that's another discussion. And while he's there, this Canaanite woman comes and pleads with him. So let me look at the story. The story is this Canaanite woman comes pleading with Jesus in behalf of her daughter. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. She says, "Please, Lord." She has great faith. She addresses Jesus in messianic terminology. "Lord, Son of David," hey, this is messianic. It's a greeting that was reserved for those who had faith. She pleads for her daughter. The apostles say, "She's a woman by herself. She's an outsider. Send her away. She doesn't belong. She's an outsider. She bothers us. She interrupts us. She's a problem. Send her away. She does not qualify." Now, Jesus says something rather interesting here. He says, "It is not right to give the food of the children to the dogs." What Jesus was doing here is he was expressing their mind, as if to say, "This is what you say. Don't give the food of the children to the dogs. But I say to you, this woman has great faith. And this woman, outsider, teaches you about faith. She teaches you about courage, about sacrifice, about pleading in behalf of somebody else. The outsider becomes your teacher." Jesus does not change his mind. You'll read some commentaries say she got Jesus to change his mind. He didn't change his mind. His thinking was always this way. Look back over his teachings and over the public life of Christ. And the outsider was always embraced with hospitality. She doesn't change Jesus' mind. Jesus' mind was always that way. But after he says that, then he contradicts their thinking. And he said, "Woman, great is your faith." And the miracle happens. Well, that's the story. So what's the teaching of the story? For us, for the church, what does it say? When I came to Holy Family, I was young. That was many years ago. And the first 20 years of my life as a priest was mostly, except for 2 years, was spent in administration in the archdiocese. So I knew little or nothing about the practical and pastoral office of a pastor. So I was in a learning curve, a quick learning curve here at Holy Family. I found out exactly what's a pastor supposed to do. Shortly after I became pastor, I went on one of my sabbaticals. And this one, I went to Turkey and Greece. I wanted to follow the footsteps of St. Paul and learn more about St. Paul. I was traveling in a bus from Istanbul to Izmir on my way to Ephesus. And on the bus, I met this young couple from Sydney, Australia, Steve and Michelle. And we talked, and they asked where I was going. I said, "I'm going to Izmir, Ephesus, and then I'm going across the Greek Isles." And they said, "We are going that way. Do you want to travel together for a week?" I said, "Fine." I had a backpack. They had backpacks and they had a tent. They have been traveling in Europe for 2 years. I learned that young Australians do that. They come to Europe, they worked in London for a few weeks and they made some money. They work the beer festival in Munich, make some money, and they keep traveling like that. Itinerant, adventurous. That was Steve and Michelle. So we talked and talked, and we went to Izmir, Ephesus. We went down to Kushadasi, got on the ferry, and began to cross the Isles. So each day, we'd just enjoy traveling around the Greek Isles. Travel in the ferry, and I began to write them into my journal every night. What is God saying to me about this couple? I admired their honesty. They told me about the great pain they had in their relationship. They broke up for a couple of months in London, and they came back together. They told me about their struggles. I became a kind of a father figure for them. I admire their search for a God they do not know. In all the time I was with them every day, they never once asked me about God. And yet I saw beauty in them. I saw sincerity. I noticed how kind they were getting off the ferry, helping an old lady with her luggage. I admire that. They were sincere. There was something about them that God was showing me. And each night I'd write my journal, and somehow they appeared in my journal. Now they've been living in that tent for 2 years. I presume they're not just saying the rosary in there every night, but anyway, it doesn't matter to me. I can see beyond that. I can see their goodness, their search, their hopes, their dreams. But they had no God. They were searching for a God they did not know. And after a week, they said they wanted to go to Egypt. I said, I'll tell you where to go in Egypt, and then go home. You cannot live this way. I became a kind of a father figure for them. Go home. You cannot decide what to do with your life. So I was getting on a ferry to go to Athens, and I blessed them on the dock. I sent them forth. When I got to Athens that night, I was writing in my journal, I wonder, now that I'm a new pastor at Holy Family, I'm wondering if they showed up at Holy Family and they said they wanted to get married, would I first show them a book of law? This is the Code of Canon Law. It's a large book. Got 1,752 canons. It deals with everything, and it's necessary to have some legal structure in the institutional church. Would I first show them a book of law? And after I have lost them, wish I had loved them first. Or would I first show them a book of love? And after I have loved them in God's holy, revealed, embracing word, then I would introduce them to whatever part of the canon law is necessary to support God's revealed word. That couple changed my whole approach toward people. Listen to the pain of people. Listen to their struggles. Listen to their search. There are no outsiders. That first reading today, the Lord says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. Therefore, in the kingdom of God, there's a place for everybody in the kingdom of God. That's the teaching. She's not an outsider. You don't have to send her away. Touch, feel, belong, understand. which will happen only when you yourself, at some time in your life, have had an experience of being an outsider. Did you ever have an experience of rejection? When you felt somebody judged you, you didn't fit in, you weren't good enough, your wound was too obvious, your failure too transparent, you didn't feel worthy in your marriage, as a parent, looking for friends, looking for a church. Somehow, you got the impression that you're an outsider. The Word of God says, God's revealed Word, not canon law, God's revealed Word says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. Wow. The Word of God belongs to you, each of you. Belongs to those around you who feel left out. The church is your church. Everybody in your family is your family. You're broken, we're struggling, we're miserable, we're awkward, we're contradictory. And yet, I know deep in my soul, nobody is an outsider. And sometimes I know, in dealing with living church, that the people who are struggling, carrying pain, pleading in behalf of another, they are the ones that have more faith than I have. It's a mother pleading for her child. Who among us cannot see the mother pleading for her child? We have all experienced the pain of a mother struggling, praying in God's presence for the needs of her child. Whoever, she belongs. Nobody is an outsider. Well, who might be an outsider? There's a small group in the church called fortunate families. This is an example. Fortunate families are parents of LGBTQ persons. They're pleading with the church for a dialogue, for a place to belong, a place to be affirmed, a place to find value, not only in them, but in their children. Are they outsiders? No. They're your family. They're my family. They are our church. Many of these persons, like fortunate families and many others, they're an interruption. They might impose on you, demand. They might feel like outsiders. But the Word of God today says, my house, this house, not my house, but God's house. Because the Lord says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. That's you. And that's me. Amen.